with a particularly complicated situation, and I was rather overwhelmed and unsure what to do. So I went to the person I knew who was the wisest, and I asked them for advice. It was my father. And I asked him, "Dad, what should I do?" And he has said something that I have never forgotten. Do the next best faithful step. Anxiety was not my friend in that moment, and I stammered, "What? That's it? Nothing else?" And Dad replied, "Yep, that's it. Just take the next best faithful step." Of course, he was right, as usual, because in the end, more often than not, that is all any of us can do. This morning, we are blessed to hear two wonderful stories from sacred scripture. The first comes from Genesis and gives us a window into the life of Rebecca. The second comes from the Gospel of Matthew and the parable of the sower. Both stories are uniquely wonderful on their own. So I know that at first glance, it doesn't sound like the vignette of Rebecca's life and the parable of the sower have anything in common. So if you will hang with me for the next few minutes, I want to reflect with you how each story is inviting us to simply consider taking the next best faithful step. We don't know much of anything about Rebecca beyond what is contained in a few chapters in the book of Genesis. For example, we can assume that her marriage to Isaac was, per the customs of the day, arranged between her father and Isaac. But we really don't know if they loved each other, much less if they liked each other. We do know that Rebecca was barren and that her husband prayed on her behalf to God for some assistance in that complicated situation. We also know that in the Bible, not only were children seen as a blessing from God, which they are still today, until their teenage years. We can have a separate sermon for that. Sorry about that. I had four of them. But in Isaac's day, children were also a status symbol, and they were an extra set of hands for the family business to help oversee the livestock. So God answered Isaac's prayer, and Rebecca became pregnant. And yet I wonder, in my colorful imagination, was this Rebecca's prayer too? Did she also yearn to become a mother? Maybe. We don't know. As the story goes, her pregnancy was uncomfortable, if not downright painful. We don't know who Rebecca had to talk to. Were there other women around? Her own mother? Did she have sisters or cousins she could turn to for support and comfort? Or was she all alone? I can only imagine how scared she must have been, maybe even a little bit upset with her husband for leaving her alone all day and not coming home to rub her back where she ached. Whether surrounded by family or sitting by herself in her tent, Rebecca simply does the next best faithful thing. She prays to God. Or one might say she vents and maybe complains and maybe even yells a little bit. The truth is, Rebecca got honest. She was vulnerable. If it is to be this way, why do I live? Yeah, that's what she said. Because all of her frustration and her anger and her fear and her hopelessness and her pain and her anxiety are all bound up in that prayer. She can't control what is happening to her. So she pours out her heart and lays it all before God. And her raw honesty is what draws her closer to God. How often do we find ourselves carrying a heavy burden, some complicated situation, or the weight of grief? Feels unbearable. And overwhelmed, we too cry out, if this is the way it's going to be, then what's the point of going on? What do I do? Most of the time, all we can do is take the next best faithful step and turn to God. Even if God doesn't feel particularly close, even if we don't hear or experience something profound or encouraging along the way. In fact, God's response to Rebecca wasn't particularly helpful or comforting, if I say so myself. Prophetic, yes, pastoral, no. And prayer is like that sometimes. What comes our way after we have bravely poured out our hearts can be confusing and surprising. And the next best faithful step is to simply stay open. My friend Tim Jones is a deacon at St. James Episcopal Church in Hendersonville. Aside from once being the managing director of the Hendersonville Rescue Mission, Tim is also an accomplished poet. I often find his words more beautifully capture and convey what I'm trying to say. He writes, "When you pray, look up at the sky. There's space for honesty in its mothering light. I'm exhausted. My heart is crushed. It all seems empty now. It scares me how angry I am. Look at the sky. Your soul is just as wide. The Spirit says, you don't know. Say what? That grief isn't fading. The Spirit says that you're grateful. It doesn't always feel like elation or propulsion. Look at the sky, mirroring the expanse within you. There's room for all of this at once. On earth as it is in heaven." When Jesus got into the boat and pushed off a bit into Lake Galilee, I wonder what he was thinking or feeling as he looked at the green and gold hills up above the lake and the crowds of people standing along the shore. I wonder what he saw when he looked at all of their faces. Hunger, yearning for a word of hope or acceptance or healing or forgiveness. And so Jesus taught them the parable of the sower. As you all know, parables don't just have one single interpretation, even if an interpretation is offered, as in the case this morning. Parables are abundant, full of deep, rich meaning and wisdom that we can return to over and over again, discover something new and fresh. For me, one of the things that the parable of sower reminds me of is that sometimes my next best faithful step is simply to sow seeds of love anywhere and everywhere I can, and then to let God do the rest. We often hear this parable through the interpretation from the Gospel of Matthew, which leads us to quickly make judgment calls about either the farmer's lack of skill or the status of those people that lack understanding or are uncommitted or are distracted by the allures of this world and assume that they're all doomed. The honest truth is that each one of us at one time or another will find ourselves in each of those complicated situations. Sometimes we don't hear or comprehend what God is trying to say to us. Sometimes when things get really hard, we turn away from God. And sometimes when we're trying to make a living and pay the bills, we kind of drift away from God. And the next best faithful step is to let go and to let God. Because even when a seed is planted in complicated situations, nothing is ever lost to God. All eventually goes back to the earth and will regenerate into something new, something holy. When we deeply listen to the parable, we are invited to hear that underneath each and every human situation and condition, God is always at work. Our call in this ecosystem of God's redemption and transformation is just to faithfully scatter seeds of love, trusting that with God, nothing and nobody is lost. That through God and Christ, resurrection is real and grace will always grow. My friends, when we find ourselves in complicated situations like Rebecca, we find ourselves carrying a heavy burden and we feel everything is falling apart, the next best faithful step is to cry out and bare our hearts in prayer. Trusting even just a little that God is indeed at work in us, because nothing is lost with God. And when we look out upon the big, complicated situations that fill our world, the next best faithful step is to keep sowing seeds of love, to extend kindness and mercy to each person we encounter along the way. Because we never know where grace will grow.